We've had some mighty good music today, hadn't we? The first that Cameron sang, one of my favorite Christmas songs. I love that song. Do you hear what I hear? And great mandolin playing with it, and it was just an excellent way to start our service. And the choir, that was the most beautiful song that they sang, and I appreciate it. We're going to be real informal today and a little bit different than we normally would. I'm not going to keep you till 2 today. I know that's a little long. I'm going to try to get you on by 1:45 today. But what a wonderful service. I have really been blessed by knowing that we can have such a great service as this, and to see the number of people here today. I appreciate some of you have asked me about what kind of report I got. I sent it out to our staff and some of the other folks, but I have no new cancer. It is still some red areas in my bladder, so I am going to have to take 2 more cancer treatments. One will be December the 23rd, so that's going to kind of put me in foul shape Christmas, but I'm going to enjoy it as best as I can. And they're going to try some new treatments for me after Christmas, not for the cancer, but for the fact that the therapy has kind of really put my bladder in bad shape. So they're going to do some things to that. And one is they can, try a pacemaker on your bladder. I've never heard of that. So I'm open for game. And the other is now that they're giving Botox shots to your bladder, which really help a whole lot, your bladder won't have any wrinkles. So it's, that's so that sounds exciting. But I appreciate all your prayers. And the best news of all is there's no new cancer appearing, and that evidently the cancer has responded well to the treatments. I have got a voice problem. My vocal cords, Tracy was in there with me and Dr. Chep. She knows more about this than I do. But anyway, he looked at my vocal cords, and I have got a disease of the vocal cords. It's called 40 years of preaching. I've preached so much, I've about worn them out. So that's where my raspiness is coming from, and I'm probably not going to be able to sing much anymore, but that's a blessing for y'all. So anyway, though, all in all, I'm thrilled to be alive and to be here with you today and to thank you for all you've done for me. And I'm sorry this has been such an up and down year. I hope next year will be a lot better for me and for all of you too. And I just thank you for all your prayers. Somebody asked me, and it's okay to ask me this. I think they were a little concerned that I was going to start every sermon from now on with a song played. And no, this is just something different for Advent, because the song I played one last week. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and we're going to have one today, which sets kind of the mood of the sermon. And this will not be a long sermon today, I promise you that. But, I told you last week that I heard the bells on Christmas Day. We think about the later verses that talks about how much peace there is on earth. And then we talked about the angels to the shepherds, who were, of course, the lowest class of people. Don't exactly know why, because they were the hardest working people there probably was, but they were the most obedient. They heard the multitude of angels, which I also explained to you. Many scholars think that God called every angel that was available to come and announce the good news, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. And also that there was going to be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then I explained to you, were the angels really wrong? Because there's no peace on earth, or it doesn't seem to be. And then we went on further to say, as you look at that closer, that word peace meant when Christ comes into your heart. Now, if Christ was in every heart of everyone in America and the world, there would be peace on earth. Unfortunately, that is not the case. So that's why we have the world like it is. So there is another Christmas song that I think is so beautiful. It was written by Wayne Kirkpatrick, and the music is done by Michael Smith. You have not heard this song much. It's a beautiful song, one of my favorite Christmas songs, really, of all of them. But it's called All Is Well. That's the name of the sermon today. And today we're going to look at the fact, how can it be all is well when all this stuff's going on around us, you know, that's happening? I mean, it sure doesn't appear to be that way, but I'm going to try to show you that it can be that way. So, Kevin, if you will roll this song for us to hear, this is by Point of Grace. And I think this lady has the most beautiful voice. And I hope maybe next year one of you people in the church will sing this for me. I'll buy you the soundtrack and give you the words, if you will. This is All Is Well. That's almost a prayer, isn't it? Two books I want to encourage you to get in the coming weeks. You may not like one of the authors. I like him. I don't agree with everything he says, but I think all in all, he is a smart man. His name is Pat Buchanan, and I know you've heard of him. He's been on commentaries many times on the news. He has written a new book about suicide of a superpower. And the subtitle is, Will America Survive to 2025? This man is smart, and even though I don't agree with some of the things he says, I agree with what he said in this book because he's right on the money. America is disintegrating. The centrifugal forces pulling us apart are growing. What unites us is dissolving. And this is true of Western civilization. Meanwhile, the state is failing in its most fundamental duties. It is no longer able to defend our borders, balance our budgets, or win our wars. The drive to de-Christianize America, to purge Christianity from the public square, public schools, and public life will prove culturally and socially suicide for this nation. The last consequence of a dying Christianity is a dying people. Not one post-Christian nation has a birth rate sufficient to keep it alive. The death of European Christianity means the disappearance of the European tribe, a prospect visible in the demographic statistics of every Western nation. How true those words are. And while Pat Buchanan may have some disagreements with him on some things, I think he's hit the nail right on the head in this book. And I hope and pray that you'll get this book and read it. And the reason that I'm mentioning it to you today, I got this from James Dobson from one of his latest newsletters that he's praising this book. And I'm one to believe that whatever James Dobson likes is worth reading. So that is one that I would encourage you to read. The other is by one of my favorite preachers, Dr. David Jeremiah. And he has written a book about things that he thought he would never see. And it is an excellent book. You need to read it and find out things that are happening that is just unbelievable in this country. Things that he thought he would never see, such as marriage becoming obsolete. That's one chapter that he's got on that. He's got another chapter on the Bible and how it is no longer respected, and how young people look at it and how they're getting their morals, and it's not from the Bible. He is upset about the emerging church and what is happening there, and that the church is now looking more at itself as being sold to a consumer rather than giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is something else that he is very concerned about. And then he's very concerned about Iran, the country, and what it's doing, and how it's manipulating us, and what could happen. Well worth reading. And finally, the other thing, and this is the thing that really haunts me as a Christian. I can tell you right now, Israel is not perfect. But I do still believe that Israel is God's chosen people. Of course, through Christ, he's chosen us all. But they're very special people. And if you've been reading recently, they have got perhaps one of the biggest threats against them is Iran right now. But the other thing that really bothers me is the United States, in my opinion, is turning its back on Israel. And I'm going to tell you something to the people that do that. God doesn't have very nice things to say. And we do not need to turn our back on Israel. As far as I can see, they haven't turned their back on us. And they are a nation that is small. I've been there. It's a very small nation. But they are a people that are very much devoted in their love of that nation and the love of their God. The only thing is we wish they would accept Jesus Christ. And one day we read that many of them will. But I do not think we can afford to turn our back on them. And I think we need to look at that and see how that's happening in our nation. So that's the bad news today. That's what I wanted to finish telling you. And these two books, please go get them. They are very good reading. You can get David Jeremiah at Walmart and at the Family Bookstore and at the Baptist Bookstore and at Barnes & Noble. And the thing I'd say is just go around and find out who's got the best buy. And then the Pat Buchanan book you can get at Barnes & Noble. I haven't seen this at the Christian bookstores, but it should be there. But what is the solution to all this? I mean, how can things be all as well? I mean, the angels said a beautiful song, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And of course, they meant it could happen when Jesus Christ is Savior of your life. But how can it be that all is well when it seems like all is not well? Well, there is a way that things can be well, and it goes right along with what we were talking about, peace on earth. All is well when Jesus Christ is your Savior. You can wake up every morning and whatever you face that day, no matter how large that problem's going to be, no matter if it's going to be huge and you think you can never, never, ever get over it, God is greater than that problem you're going to have. Christ is greater than that problem you're going to have. Christ is going to listen to you. Christ has the hot phone right there available for every person at every second because he can listen to them all because he is the Son of God. Christ can make things well in your life. Even though the world is closing in on us and you know, I feel the pressure and the stress and the oppression, all is well when Jesus Christ is your Savior. You heard the song, Christ is born in a manger in Bethlehem. Go and tell the good news. And the shepherds, that's exactly what they did. Oh, very obedient, very obedient. The humblest of people, yet they were so obedient, they left their sheep, not fearing losing their jobs, to follow and find out what's going on, who the Savior is, and they immediately started telling everybody. And that is what we're supposed to do, because I've told you many times over these years I've been here, service does not begin at 10 or 11. Service begins when you walk out those doors into the community. So I'm telling you, when you've got Jesus, all is well. No matter what the problems are, all is well with you and with Christ because he loved you so much. He gave his Son, his only begotten Son. And we talk about Easter so much, and we should, the crucifixion and the resurrection, but you can't have them without, of course, Christ being born. So that's very important. Christmas is a very important time of the year. And as I close today, I just want to tell you these things that I think are very important. Christ came first in a manger. Hey, the next time he comes, he's going to rule the world. Christ came first in humility. The next time he comes, he's coming in power and great glory. The first coming, he hung on a tree. The second coming, he will be occupying the throne of David. The first coming, he was a victim. He was hung on the cross as the slain Lamb of God. But let me tell you something. The second time he's coming, he's going to be the supreme judge of the universe. The first time he come, they spat on him. They slapped his face. But the second time he comes, those who pierced him will be pierced in their hearts. The first time he come, they mocked him. They dragged him in the streets of Jerusalem. The second time he comes, he's going to condemn the blasphemers, the heretics, and those who persecute Christians. The first time he come, he was forced to bow his head. The second time he comes, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Christ the Lord to the glory of the Father. All the glory and honor belongs to him. Let me tell you, he is the full revelation of the Creator. And you see his face in all the books of Scripture. In Genesis, he is the seed of a woman. In Exodus, he's the great Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the high priest. In Numbers, he is that smitten rock. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord of hosts. In Judges, he is the great and final judge. In Ruth, he is our heavenly kinsman. In Samuel, he is the anointed one. In the book of Kings, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Chronicles, he's the glory of the temple of God. In Ezra, he's the teacher that came from God. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of broken lives. In Esther, he's the protector of his people. In Job, he's the comforter in our times of trouble. In Psalms, he's the good shepherd. In Ecclesiastes, he is the preacher of the kingdom of God. In the beautiful Song of Solomon, he's the bridegroom coming back soon for his bride, the church. In Isaiah, he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the potter that shapes the clay of our lives into the image of God. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. In Daniel, he is the Son of Man coming in the clouds and the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the love of God for a backslider. In Joel, he's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's the author of judgment and mercy. In Obadiah, he's the God of vengeance. In Jonah, he's the salvation of the Lord. In Micah, he's a great intercessor. In Nahum, he is the stronghold in the day of trouble. In Habakkuk, he is the God of mercy. In Zephaniah, he is the establisher of the kingdom of God upon the earth. In Haggai, he is the desire of all nations. In Zechariah, he's the branch of Joseph or Jehovah. In Malachi, he is the refiner's fire, the son of righteousness who shall rise with healing in his wings. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew, he's the kingly Messiah. In Mark, he's the miracle worker. In Luke, he's the great physician. In John, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In Acts, he's the risen Lord. In Romans, he's our justification. In Corinthians, he's our purification and sanctification. In Galatians, he's our liberation. In Ephesians, he's our perfection. In Philippians, he's what? He is our joy. In Colossians, he is the head of the body, the church. In Thessalonians, he's the coming Lord. In Timothy, he's the judge of all men. In Titus, he's the redeemer of all the world. In Philemon, he's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the author and finisher of our faith. In James, he's the healer of all nations. In Peter, he is the chief shepherd and the bishop of our souls. In 1 John, he is the Word of God. In Jude, he is coming with 10,000 of his saints to judge the earth. And oh, wonderful revelation, he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Word of God, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the Root of Jesse, the Lamb of God, the Word of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Did you hear that, Washington, D.C.? You're not God. We're talking about God and Christ, the real God, the real Christ. He's the one that gave his life for all of us, and he will come and receive us, that where he is, we might be also, if we receive him. So he's a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior. He's the one that can make things well in your life. And you can sing, as that lady sang so beautifully, all is well because Christ has come and blessed us to have salvation that no one else could have given us or paid the price. but Him and Him Himself. You want to know why I preach Christ? That's why. There's nothing else to preach but Christ. Yes, I'm old-fashioned, and I'm going to stay old-fashioned because I love the old-fashioned gospel that's just as modern as any other news you can read today, because it brings you salvation. It brings you peace. It brings you goodwill, and it makes things well in your life. Are all things well in your life? They can be when you trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Hymn number 136 is our closing hymn. The altar is open if you would like to come today. We certainly want to say that any time that you want to come and give your life to Christ, the altar is open. If you want to join this church, you know, we ask three questions, and that is, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe the Bible is the holy word of God? And do you promise to do your best to serve Him each day of your life? We'd love to have you come. The altar is open as we sing hymn number 136, which I believe is the first Noel. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses. First, second, and last verses. Let us stand.